Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus.
Lord, he whom you love is ill.
But when Jesus heard it, he said,
This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it.
Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples,
Let us go to Judea again.
The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and are you going there again? Jesus answered,
Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble, because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble, because the light is not in them.
After saying this, he told them,
Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to awaken him.
The disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right. Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly,
Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him.
Thomas, who was also called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, Let us also go, so that we may die with him. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus,
Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him.
Jesus said to her,
Your brother will rise again.
Martha said to him,
I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day.
Jesus said to her,
I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?
She said to him,
Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world.
When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately,
The teacher is coming and is calling for you.
And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him,
Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.
When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said,
Where have you laid him?
They said to him,
Lord, come and see.
Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, See how he loved him. But some of them said, Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said,
Take away the stone.
Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him,
Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days.
Jesus said to her,
Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?
So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said,
Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me.
When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice,
Lazarus, come out!
The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them,
Unbind him and let him go.
Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him.
May God add a blessing to the hearing and the understanding of this sacred word. Amen. In the first three Gospels, the last straw for the authorities was when Jesus went into the temple and disrupted things, disrupted the commerce that was going on, disrupted the way things ought to be. In the Gospel of John, it's this story, the raising of Lazarus, that was the last straw. It's the thing that turned the authorities more and more clearly focused onto Jesus and the need to eliminate him. Lazarus became a kind of a problem for them too, and there was a plot to kill him, actually. Now, Lazarus, just a little aside, Lazarus really was not resurrected in the sense that Jesus was resurrected. He was brought back to life, and he died a normal death within a short time later. And so it's a distinction that probably isn't terribly important, but I think in the long run needs to be understood. Resurrection is coming from the old life through death to a completely new life. Okay. When Jesus is talking with Mary, though, he says, you know your brother will be raised. And she said, oh, yes, I know. And at the last days, you know, when Jesus comes again, which we would say now, but in those, they didn't have that idea yet. But when he, in the last days, everybody will be raised. And so she answered with the proper answer. And he said, no. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. The resurrection and the life. And all through John, eternal life, life, resurrection and life starts now. It starts now. It's like I said to the kids, you know, there's always this newness that comes. Whatever happens that is death-giving or is sad or is difficult, all of those things can be turned around. It's a partnership between us and God. We need in our lives to have, I think, that kind of a hope today, not just for a hope in the last days when Jesus comes, according to Scripture, on the cloud and raises up all the faithful. We need to have that kind of resurrection faith today in our lives. I was reading a blog on the internet from a woman who is an author, and she was always part of the main line of evangelical Christian church. And she had some difficulties with the way the church acted, the evangelical church, during the political campaigns, because she thought that they had abandoned their Christian roots, you know, and given them up too easily. And so she was kind of in trouble a little bit for that. But then a few days before Good Friday, she had the temerity to suggest in public that LGBT people, persons who are differently gendered, were really people. And she said, I was not prepared for what happened. The emails, the comments, the posts, the vitriol, the hatred. She said, even text groups of talking about her in a very nasty way, one of which she got included in. And so she called the people on that and said, what is this? I'm the same person I was, you know. I'm a Christian. And they said, oh, we were laughing with you, not at you. Lame, huh? Really lame. And so she said, you know, every year at Good Friday throughout all of my life, I have been sad. And I said, isn't it sad how Jesus was treated and how he was abandoned and how he was put down? She said, but this year, I know it differently. This year, I have internalized it. I think we all come to times when we feel that hurt, the division, the meanness of other people. And for most of us, it's not a Good Friday experience. But it is something that stays with us. At least it does with me. And it digs deep. You know, they say, you know, one you did bad throws out all of the attaboys that you've accumulated over time. One criticism takes away all, you know, you don't remember any of the compliments and the nice things. So we go to a place that's difficult to be. Sometimes we try to ignore it, and sometimes we try to shrug it off. And sometimes we actually can, at least for the purposes of the surface of our lives. But things tend to stay around. As I said to the kids, the promise of God, the promise given and fulfilled by the resurrection is that stuff doesn't have to win. When we are sad because of the death of a loved one or the impending death, maybe we've been praying and praying and praying, and it still happens. We feel the loss desperately, but the loss doesn't have to be there and to consume our lives forever. The good news is that God has the power with us to help us move through that. In the old days, I think the greatest fear was the fear of death. And this spoke very specifically to that, you know, the story spoke very specifically to the fear of death. I'm not sure that we feel the same way about death today, but I don't think any of us, until the end, thinks that we would welcome it. And so sometimes we're afraid. Sometimes we're feeling very vulnerable. And yet, we need to know that even in death, God comes, and death does not have the last word. Jesus came, was raised. He appeared only to people who were his followers. He did not go out, you know, he didn't get into any crowds or out anywhere. He only appeared to his followers. And there are great debates as to why that was, but we won't go there. And then, a short while later, he was taken up into heaven to be with God, and God sent the Holy Spirit. Now, I just spent a confirmation class a few weeks ago trying to explain the Trinity again, and you got God, and you got the Holy Spirit, and you got Jesus, and all I know is that between those parts of the Trinity, one God, we're taken care of. There is always a part that will reach to us. When I need to talk to God with a human face, I picture Jesus. When I need invisible support from those hands that never see, I call on the Holy Spirit. And when I see creation, like we did this morning out at the bend of the river, I thank God, the Creator. So we have this God always with us. And after some of you, have any of you seen The Shack yet? No? After you do, I'd be interested to hear what people have to say, because it presents very different images of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But we are always in God's care, one way or another. And that promise really is fulfilled by the resurrection. It's sealed by the resurrection. There's an anthem that the choir is going to sing next week. And the words go like, it's by the Gazers. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. It's worth the living, and it's possible to live the abundant life, the life that Jesus wanted. Jesus didn't come just to lay down some rules that we had to follow. Jesus told us how to behave so that it works. You know, he showed us the way to shalom. And the underpinnings of shalom is a word that means a fit together world. And Jesus talked about love and respect and care for each other and for the world around us. That's the way the world fits together. And so I say to you today, happy Easter and shalom.